we're looking forward to Purdue Theater and a brand new production opening up Friday. You wrote a lovely introduction in the program about this play and how we don't know the sister. Tell us a little bit about your discovery and why you think it's important.
Well, Dr. Fliotsos was the one who discovered the play, and I'm very grateful to her because I had never heard of this play, nor had I heard of this woman. And I think virtually no one in North America has. She's extremely famous in South America, particularly Mexico. She is on Money. And as you know, only presidents or kings and queens get to be on Money, so that shows her status. There was another play called The Heresy of Love that was produced in Great Britain at the National Theatre, which is also about Sor Juana Inez de la Cruz. So she's become very popular in the 21st century. She was a woman in late 17th century Spain, New Spain, that is, which is, it was virtually half of what is now America, all of Mexico, and some of South America. It was a huge territory, and it was governed by the viceroy, who was appointed for 6 years by the King of Spain. And when you look at the map, you can understand why the appointment was only 6 years, because that person could have well become his own king at that time. She was born in Mexico. She was illegitimate, which in this society meant that she had no status and virtually no opportunity, but she was brilliant. She was really a genius. She taught herself how to read at the age of 3. Her grandfather had an extensive library, and she went there and read every book that she could. When she was 12 years old, she decided she wanted to study at the university, which to us is high school. So she cut her hair and put on boys' clothing and studied there for a while and gained a reputation of being brilliant. But they discovered she was a girl. This information became known at the court of the viceroy, and they invited her down, and they put her in front of 40 universitarians and clergymen, who were the only learned men other than the aristocracy, and they fired questions of philosophy, arithmetic, mathematics, literature, language, virtually any of the studies in university, and she passed with flying colors. She virtually answered every question correctly. So she became the court darling for a few years, much like Mozart was when he was in Austria. And then suddenly she decided to become a nun at around the age of 16. No one knows why she wanted to become a nun. She became a nun and was a nun until she was 43, but at the age of 40, she suddenly decided to stop writing altogether. During her career at court and nunnery, the convent, she wrote all the great minds of Europe, exchanged letters and ideas with them. She wrote literature, poetry. She held salons for the aristocracy, which meant that there were gatherings in which they discussed the great questions and played games of poetry, which to us would be like rap, in which they created poems on the spot. And then, of course, she suddenly decided to go to a convent and then suddenly decided to stop writing. No one knows why. And this play is really a conjecture of what caused those two life-changing events. But all of the facts in the play are true.
I imagine that when you have sort of larger-than-life characters, you know, that it's fun to work with young people in these roles.
It is. You sort of have a responsibility to history, but overall you have a responsibility to the play because you are not playing history. You are creating the play, the production that Karen Zacharias wrote. The woman who is playing Sor Juana is a graduate student from Argentina, and she dearly wanted to play this role because, of course, she's from South America and knew her very well and respected her. And she did earn the part by audition. And then we have two other Latinos in the production. Katrina Guzman is playing the Viceroy, and she doubles as one of the sisters in the convent. And Anthony Espinosa is playing one of the court caros by the name of Don Pedro. They were thrilled to be in the production as well. The interesting thing about Malena is She speaks English very well, but of course has a Spanish accent. So we decided the first poem that opens the play, which is one of Sor Juana's, we decided to begin it in Spanish so you could hear the beauty of its original language. And then we crossfade into English. And this is not what Karen Zacharias wrote, so we took a bit of poetic license, as they say. But it also sets up that this woman speaks Spanish. That is her first language. And so when you are in the play itself, you accept that she has an accent while none of the other characters do. And a lot of people questioned why we were not playing the play with a Spanish accent, and my answer is because it was written by an American writer in the American vernacular, so it was not meant to be written with a Spanish accent. But doing that poem in Spanish first, it was a lucky accident. We just wanted to do it because it's so beautiful in Spanish, but it sets up that this woman speaks Spanish and English.
Are the sets and costumes period? Are they more contemporary? Tell us a little bit about what we'll see on the stage.
When you are doing a period play that is written in contemporary language, it is called displaced period, which means it's period, but it's displaced to the current century. So it's a combination. The costumes and the set and the settings are all based on period pieces, but they have a distinctly 21st century influence.
Could you tell me a little bit about your collaborators for this wonderful play?
Of course. The costume designer name is Stephanie Wayne, and we have a professional set designer, Angie Miller from Chicago. She's designed the set. And Allison Newhart has designed the lights, and Jing Zhao has designed the sound. The costume, lights, and sound are all Terminal Project productions for the third-year graduate designers.
Christine, I know that there's going to be a collaboration from the Latino Cultural Center and the Department of Languages and Cultures and the LGBTQ Center to have a talk, which is, I think, sort of nice to be able to even expand more and not something we might normally have before a play.
We're really excited to have our guest lecturer, Maricel Melendez from the University of Illinois, who is an expert on Sor Juana Inés de la Cruz, come to speak to the audience earlier at 7 o'clock. So if you are interested, please show up to the Mallet prior to 7 o'clock, and she will be there talking about the real life of Sor Juana Inés de la Cruz. And that will be followed by the play, that which begins at 7:30.
Well, you can find out more. It's at Purdue Theater One on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And be sure to tag yourself there. And of course, this interview will be again on WBAA.org. Christine, it's so nice to meet you, and thanks for coming in today.
Thank you, John. I had a lovely time.